Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 20th, 2023. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to talk to the Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen competition contestants, wrap that series up, looking forward to it. Right now, joining us on the phone, our friend, Wisconsin Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James, how are you?
Doing all right. How have you been?
Doing great. Actually, just wrapped up a legislative breakfast here at Mid-State Technical College here in Wisconsin Rapids, and had a really good discussion and good conversations with folks alongside State Representative Donna Rosar and Representative Krug, and followed that up with a briefing from the leadership team at Mid-State Technical College.
I want to break that down with you, if you don't mind. First up, what did you have for breakfast? No, I'm kidding. I know this is an opportunity that you really appreciate, being able to be right there in the same building, eye to eye with a lot of your constituents. What were some of the conversations that were had?
Yeah, I mean, we got to kind of highlight some of the items that we worked on in the state budget, and then to hear directly from community leaders and our business community on just some of the challenges that they're facing, whether it's dealing with the housing shortage that we have here in the state, the continued need to find workers, and what we can do to become a more attractive region and be competitive so we're not falling behind. And so, thankfully, having everyone at the same table working on these issues, it's really paid off, because a lot of these issues are being worked on as we speak right down in Madison, and things that were either done in the budget or as we work on standalone bills. It just goes to show that this is a direct representation of taking feedback that we get from community leaders when we work with our colleagues down in Madison to actually get results. And it's events like these that really help shape and help formulate public policy, which I think is extremely beneficial.
When it comes to being able to talk with people face to face, I know how much that means. So you mentioned you talked with some of the people from Mid-State as well. What was discussed there?
Well, the continued growth that they've had. I mean, they've had a tremendous year. And so talking with President Shelley Mondyke, during the pandemic, a lot of technical colleges around the state and around the country actually saw declines in enrollment to the tune of around 14%. But yet, Mid-State was an outlier. In fact, throughout most of the pandemic, their enrollment actually grew, not by leaps and bounds, but still it bucks the trend from what we've seen from technical colleges around the state and country, that, again, it's the innovation and the partnerships that they've created and established with other entities like UWSP, like our folks in the private sector, that just goes to show that they really are taking a lead role in addressing the employment challenges and the workforce challenges that we face. And a prime example, them working with the Motor Carriers Association to receive grants to help with get some trucks to help transport students who otherwise wouldn't be able to get to any of the various campuses. And that's impacted roughly around 20 students who otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity or a way to get to the campuses. And so, again, creating those opportunities to help enrich and better people's lives and to help train them and retool them just goes to show that they're exploring every and all avenues to tackle the needs that are facing our state, which is right now number one workforce.
When it comes to the conversations that you had today at the breakfast, I'm not sure exactly how to word this, but I'm curious, were they adult conversations? Were people acting like adults, basically? Was it a little bit of what we've had in years past, or have people settled down a little bit and talking more like adults to each other?
I'd say we had a very, very thoughtful conversation.
Good.
And yeah, it was definitely adult conversations that, there have been a few instances in past breakfasts that we've had here where things have gotten a little heated, which is to be expected. But, by and large, I mean, everyone has a lot of opinions and a lot of concerns, questions, thoughts. And compared to our counterparts out in D.C., at least here in Wisconsin and down in Madison, we're able to roll up our sleeves, tackle the tough issues, and get the job done, which is why I'm thankful in the position I'm in compared to my counterparts out in D.C., where it's a little bit more dysfunctional. But just goes to show that at least here in Wisconsin, we tackle challenges head on and we address them and we solve them.
one of the things you and I, Representative Krug, Representative Shankland, we've talked about in other conversations is the idea that Wisconsin has an opportunity to show to the rest of the nation what a purple state can do and what it can do when you can work both parties together and how what we can accomplish when both parties do work together. It's another thing, too. Another layer of that to me is what you just said there. While we've had incidents here and there and everything, and there's certainly outliers, for the most part, that's what you get most of the time when you have like these town hall meetings or things like that, when you've got, you know, your constituents and a representative in the room together treating each other like adults. I think to the if you're listening to this outside of the state, it might sound a little foreign to you. But here it's an example. And I think it is an example that we can set for the rest of the country.
Well, exactly. And a prime example. So this week in the state Senate, on Tuesday, we took up a piece of legislation, which is actually my top legislative priority this session, is the Advanced Practice Registered Nurses Modernization Act, the APRN bill. And, you know, this is one that unfortunately got vetoed last session by Governor Evers. And so, you know, rather than, you know, sit there and pout and kick the can down the road and just throw up our hands and not get anything done, you know, we reintroduced this bill earlier this year, actually made some compromises, some concessions. And, you know, the day before the bill is going to be taken up on the Senate floor, we received communication from the governor's office on what he will or won't sign. And after having a lengthy conversation with some of my Democrat colleagues, we put forth an amendment. Now, it didn't give the governor everything that he wanted, but we gave him half of what he wanted, which I think is pretty fair, because I think anytime anyone goes into when they introduce legislation, they work on bills, of course you want 100% of what you want, but the reality is you don't get 100% of what you want 100% of the time. Mm. They have that give and take. And so after lengthy discussions and made an agreement to move the bill at the foot of the calendar so we could continue to have conversations throughout the course of the day and negotiate this, we were actually able to get a handful of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle to vote for the bill. And I think that sends a strong message that if and when this gets to the governor's desk, that hopefully it will get signed into law this time as opposed to being vetoed. And it'll be a major win and a huge advancement to help increase access to care, especially in rural parts of the state of Wisconsin, especially here in central Wisconsin, where we've got nearly 1 million Wisconsinites who live in underserved areas as it relates to health care, and this can help close that gap.
And I'm curious too, sir. Well, I think that some of this just has to do with Midwest tendencies, the way we always treat each other, the way we were raised. Some of those things play into this. Also, there's a pushback from constituents, from society now, of wanting to get things done. And the idea that we will replace you guys. I like talking to you, sir, but we'll replace you guys if you can't get things done. So you really have to start working together. Are you hearing that? Are you feeling that with your colleagues?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, by and large, I mean, you know, you're certainly going to have people that operate from the prism that it's all partisan games 24/7. And, you know, certainly both sides are guilty of that to some extent. But I think by and large, most of us who are down in Madison, regardless of what political stripe you wear, we're really focused on trying to get results. I mean, that's what's so great about state legislatures is that they are the laboratories of democracy in this country. And while there may be a lot of dysfunction at the federal level and a lot of gridlock, at least we're able to rope our sleeves. And I think by and large, especially in divided government like we have here in Wisconsin, we have proven, especially when you go back to the state budget, the huge wins that both the governor as well as the legislature got just goes to show that when we can put aside our differences and find that common ground, you can accomplish a lot of things. And that's where I try to spend the most of my time is what can we do to better our communities and advance good public policy? And that's been evident. And it's alive and well down in Madison, and looking forward to continuing that trend as we move forward.
Speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston, sir, recently you testified on legislation to extend disability parking rights to UW campuses. Would you mind getting into that a little bit with us?
Yeah, so this is brought to our attention by a number of disability advocacy groups as well as some veteran groups. So by and large, the UW system is exempt from extending disability parking privileges on their campuses. And while most universities accept that and they actually do allow for disability parking, some campuses don't. And this was a bill not to be punitive or to tarnish the UW system by any means, but just making sure that, you know, it's uniform across the board and ensuring that folks who are disabled, our disabled veterans and others, have the ability to have parking on campuses. And, you know, again, this was a bill that received unanimous support in the Senate, and I expect it'll have the same result or near unanimous support in the state assembly.
Speaking of unified support, a little bit divided on this one, but it did get through. The Wisconsin Assembly recently approved a $546 million funding deal for the Brewers Stadium. Most of us, I think, felt like this was something that was going to get done. But how big is the relief to have this done, to know the Brewers are staying here for at least until 2050, and to kind of, whether you agreed with the bill or not, to get it done?
Well, I still have mixed emotions and feelings on this. So It did pass the assembly. I suspect there are likely going to be changes in our house. And as I've told our leadership in the Senate Republican Caucus, look, I want to get to a yes, but the way the bill is currently drafted, I would like to see some tweaks. What frustrates me, and I'm a firm believer from a philosophical level, that the state should not be in the professional sports stadium owning business, but unfortunately we are. So the state of Wisconsin owns 2/3 of AmFam, or I just call it Miller Park.
It's Miller Park.
you know, I hope we can get some tweaks made in the Senate that will strengthen the deal and have the least minimal impact on state taxpayers, because that is a concern of mine. And, you know, we'll see. And out of respect to my colleagues who have put a lot of time and effort on this, you know, we're going to continue these conversations and see where it goes. And if we can get them to stay, great. But I just want to make sure that any deal that comes before the state Senate is in the best interest of all taxpayers in every corner of the state.
I have mentioned before, and just for the purposes of the conversation and context, I am on the board of our local Family Center Domestic Violence Center, and a subject that I talk about whenever I have a chance to. And October certainly is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so another opportunity for us to get to this. And for those that did not see the most recent report out of Wisconsin Public Radio, domestic violence-related deaths have increased in Wisconsin last year, hitting a new record for this state. Sir, is this something that is on the radar of you and your colleagues?
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, this is one of these issues that impacts just about everyone in the state. I think we all know individuals or indirectly know individuals who have dealt with these types of traumas and problems. And it's certainly, we want to make sure that, one, we've got the resources for victims, and two, making sure that perpetrators are facing the consequences of their actions, which is one of the primary reasons why in this budget that was signed into law earlier this summer, you know, it was a huge win for the justice system, both on the prosecutor end as well as on the defendant's end, making sure that we have proper compensation for our prosecutors and assistant district attorneys, but also making sure that our public defenders are being compensated properly, making sure that the scales of justice are being handled in an equal manner as they should be. And that people, when they have their day in court, that they're being well represented. And again, making sure that we've got resources going back to the victims and families who have been detrimentally impacted by these unfortunate incidents.
And it's I think that while we don't, you know, there's only so much that can be done from the government side of things, I think that it's so vital for anybody dealing with this subject to know that they're at least being heard, that they're being thought about, that that this isn't something that is just being, you know, like in years past, in decades past, and for really a long time, these things were kind of just shoved under the bed, that there it's being talked about. So that is that's good to hear that is going on. I wanted to make sure to mention this too, there is a Senate Scholar Program that we want to bring attention to people.
Yeah, so, you know, every legislative session, we have the Senate Scholar Program where high school students, juniors, and seniors have the opportunity to apply for, and they get to spend a week down in Madison and work alongside the Senate pages, and it really gives them a front row seat on the inner workings of the state legislature. And so now we encourage individuals who have an interest to apply, and you know, we've promoted this program ever since I've been in the state Senate, and it really is a great opportunity. In fact, you know, one of the more recent scholars that we've had in this program that came from the 24th Senate District, Lily Joyce out of Toma, she really had a phenomenal experience and, you know, got the chance to sit down with her, a tremendous, bright young woman who has a great future ahead of her. And as a result of her time and my getting the chance to know her and sit down and talk with her, I told her, hey, if there's anything you ever need from me, let me know. And she recently reached out after, you know, her time as a Senate scholar and her week down in Madison and said, would you be willing to write a letter of recommendation for me as I prepare to get ready for college? And I said, absolutely. And so it's just a great learning experience for young individuals to take part in. And it can potentially help open up a lot of doors as our young adults plan and begin their future careers.
I mentioned before that the American people are at a point where I think we're getting better about getting along and treating each other with some respect, but we still need to go. We have a ways to go with our politicians in that regard. Now, I think that it's fair to say that accountability is always important when it comes to any position, let alone something as important as being a politician. But I've been curious. We recently here in town, our mayor, Shane Blazer, has decided to not run for a third term. And talking with Shane on air, off air about this, part of the reason for that is kind of the political climate that we have and some of these keyboard cowards out there. While, again, America, speak your opinion. That's part of our right as an American. And I do believe in accountability. I also think that we got to treat each other with some respect. And if you have generation after generation of kids growing up and all they see is mom and dad yelling at the TV and saying every politician is horrible, how many of those young kids are going to want to grow up to be politicians? It's already hard enough to get people on boards, to get people to want to run for city government, let alone statewide things or national things. You, your colleagues, is this something that you are feeling as well? Do you see people, do you yourself think about getting out of the game sometimes because of this?
Well, I still enjoy it. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Mayor Blazer, and hats off to him and for his tremendous work and tenure in his role as mayor of the city of Wisconsin Rapids. He's been a tremendous partner and just a great public servant to work with. And, you know, the city of Wisconsin Rapids is truly blessed to have an individual like Shane who stepped up to the plate and serve, and even his predecessor, Mayor Ruink, who I still have a very good working relationship with in his role at the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned this. So, you know, just yesterday, I got to be on a panel with a number of different officials from the local level, Portage County Executive John Pavelski and Mike Pagel, who's the chair of the Town of Lanark in Portage County, as well as the Portage County Unit Town Chair. And then Steve Koons, who's the Village Administrator of Plover. And this actually got brought up quite a bit because one of the questions that was asked of us, both in the larger session and the breakout sessions, is, well, how do you handle this? And, you know, my first response was, well, one, anytime you throw your hat into the public arena, just know it's going to come with criticism. There are going to be people who you have never met who are going to have an opinion of you one way or another just based on what party you identify with or, you know, what your political philosophy is, without having ever even met you. But you have to have a thick skin. You have to be willing to take criticism. But more importantly, you have to be willing to listen. And, you know, I think as anyone in any level or position in the public eye, it's that you've got to be able to take feedback, good, bad, indifferent, and more importantly, to listen. And I think by and large, if we can get to that and find that is the common denominator, that, you know, first and foremost, hear people out and listen to what they have to say and share your thoughts and opinion and do it in a way that isn't combative. I think that helps change the narrative and will help lower the temperature in our public discourse.
The Coolest Things Made in Wisconsin contest wrapped up. I wanted to touch on that with you. Not sure if you saw the winner of that or not, but
actually, James, you caught me on a loop.
I was afraid of that.
Down in Madison, I have not seen who made it through.
Appleton Appleton product won the Coolest Thing in Wisconsin product. It was just out of a Pierce Manufacturing electric fire truck from Appleton that was the winner of this, it looks like. It was a cool thing. I did want to bring attention to this because I know that it's something that is close to you that you like touching on every year. It was a fun year of doing this, and encourage people to look into doing it, being a part of it next year.
Well, I'm bummed that our nominees from the 24th Senate District didn't make it to the finals, but it's a really cool program by WMC, Wisconsin's Chamber of Commerce, to highlight just some of the great products that are made here in Wisconsin. If it was an Appleton product, it's not too far away, but I guess next year we'll just have to try harder and find a really cool product made right here in central Wisconsin that hopefully we can get across the finish line.
You might find one of those products on your On the Job series. I know that you you had another one of those recently as we're wrapping up here. You mind telling us how that went?
Yeah, so last Friday I spent the day at UniFirst here in Wisconsin Rapids, and they're an industrial laundry and uniform supply company, and I think a lot of times we take for granted when you go to a restaurant or you go to a car shop or a mechanic, not always times the cleanest jobs in the world, and it was really neat to see the process. So, they had me start from when, trucks are coming in and they've got these giant bays of very dirty laundry. And some of it, as you're sorting through it, you're thinking, how on earth is this ever going to be serviceable and used again? But they've got a really robust process, and from, sorting laundry to helping loading these giant loads into washing machines and dryers to then actually sorting out individual pieces of clothing as it goes through this, what seems like a maze where every individual item is scanned. It's assigned to an individual within this respective company. It blows your mind that they're able to sort all this stuff and how they're able to get shirts and aprons and uniforms back to the right individual, the right company. But it was really neat. And the reason I'm glad I did this is because there's actually a bill that's going to be introduced relatively soon that would include our industrial laundry manufacturers in the egg and manufacturing tax credit. Now, initially, when I was first made aware of this, I was kind of dismissive of it, thinking, well, this is kind of silly. It's laundry. Why on earth would they qualify for this? But when you actually get to see the process firsthand, it becomes clear as day as to why they should be included. And not only that, this would have roughly a $5 million impact for companies like UniFirst throughout the state of Wisconsin, which then allows them to invest that money back into their employees, back into their business to expand their footprint. And UniFirst is a prime example of this. So their facility in Wisconsin Rapids services a huge swath here in Wisconsin and even some spillover into Minnesota, but this is a company that continues to expand and grow. In fact, they're actually in the process of building a brand new facility down in Madison, which will again expand their footprint here in the Midwest. And so it was a really neat experience. I, as a guy who's been doing his own laundry since I was about 5 or 6, it was almost like a duck to water.
Yeah. I worked the last job I had before radio here 20 some years ago. Jeez, I worked at G&K for about 2 years, 3 years, and doing a very similar job and having UniFirst right across the street from us and everything. And I did a little reporting on this. Everybody, you got to know that the senator, he gets his hands in the dirt. You got into it, sir. From what I heard, you were right down there with the rest of everybody working your tail off. Appreciate that about you and appreciate hearing about that bill. Looking forward to asking more about that as that develops. And as always, appreciate the time. Good talking with you, Scott. I knew I was going to do that. Patrick, I was setting up for Scott's interview next week. So, knew that I was going to do that. But I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks, James.
You take care. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.